This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of cardiac conditions from the knee and sports section on orthobullets.com. Let's start this episode with a quick summary. Cardiac conditions are the most common cause of sudden death in young athletic patients and comprise of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, which is the most common, coronary artery disease, and commotio cordis. Diagnosis requires a thorough history and physical exam to identify history of chest pain, palpitations, syncope during exercise, and evaluation for murmurs. An EKG or echocardiogram should be performed when there is a high suspicion for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Treatment is focused on prevention with avoidance of vigorous exercise when hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is diagnosed. If commotio cordis develops, prompt treatment with cardiac defibrillation is required for survival. Now let's get into the episode. With respect to the etiology of cardiac conditions, common conditions include syncope, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, coronary artery disease, commotio cordis, and long QT syndrome. In terms of presentation, history and physical exam is the best screening tool to identify cardiovascular problems in high school athletes. Symptoms can include chest pain, palpitations, and/or syncope. On physical exam, in the setting of pre-participation physicals, know that diastolic murmur warrants further workup, as does a 2 out of 6 systolic murmur. Moving on to the evaluation of cardiac conditions, know that normal EKG findings in endurance athletes include ventricular hypertrophy, primary AV block, nonspecific STT wave changes in the lateral leads on EKG, and resting sinus bradycardia at 40 beats per minute. Now let's talk about syncope. As a quick overview, a syncopal episode in a young athlete is a red flag for a serious cardiac condition. As far as treatment, these patients require a medical evaluation prior to returning to athletic activity. Now, let's talk about hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in a bit more detail. As a quick overview, this is the most common cause of cardiac sudden death in young athletic patients. As far as the presentation, symptoms of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy include dyspnea on exertion, chest pain, and a positive family history. Physical exam will reveal a 2 out of 6 systolic murmur, and know that a murmur that increases with standing or Valsalva maneuver should raise concern for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Remember that a murmur that increases with standing or Valsalva maneuver should raise concern for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Know that the increase in murmur is caused by dynamic obstruction of blood outflow caused by an enlarged ventricle. The evaluation of hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is done through an echocardiogram, which is the study of choice to make the diagnosis. It will show a non-dilated, thickened left ventricular wall thickness compared to normal individuals of the same age. Treatment for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is to avoid vigorous exercise. Remember that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is considered an absolute contraindication to vigorous exercise in sports. Moving on to coronary artery disease and abnormalities, in terms of the epidemiology, this is the second most common cause of sudden cardiac death, and is most common in older patients. In terms of the pathophysiology, coronary artery disease, as we just mentioned, is usually seen in older patients. Risk factors include hypertension and a family history. Know that the left main coronary artery with an abnormal origin is a risk because the artery can become compressed and lead to ischemia. As far as the presentation of coronary artery disease, as far as symptoms, patients are mostly asymptomatic, but when symptoms are present, they are commonly chest pain, palpitations, and/or syncope. As far as imaging, coronary angiography and MR angiography are the gold standards. Treatment includes lifestyle changes, medications, and surgery. Lifestyle changes include healthy eating, stress reduction, quitting smoking, and losing weight. Medication should include beta blockers, aspirin, ACE inhibitors, nitroglycerin, and calcium channel blockers. Surgery should include angioplasty and stenting, as well as coronary artery bypass grafting. Moving on to commotio cordis, this is a rare but catastrophic condition that is caused by blunt chest trauma. It results in cardiac ventricular fibrillation and is universally fatal unless immediate defibrillation is performed. With respect to epidemiology, commotio cordis is most common in children and adolescents due to the high number of athletes in this population. Treatment of commotio cordis includes CPR versus cardiac defibrillation. However, keep in mind that the best method of treatment is cardiac defibrillation. As far as prevention, know that chest protectors in baseball and hockey have not yielded the protective results desired. Now, let's end this review session talking about long QT syndrome. This is an abnormality of ventricular repolarization that can lead to ventricular tachycardia, torsade de pointe, and sudden cardiac death if not recognized and treated. Symptoms include syncope or near syncope with exercise, however, oftentimes is asymptomatic. As far as diagnosis, EKG is the gold standard. As far as treatment in terms of return to play, the determination of returning to play is made based on genetic makeup, presentation, and the need for a pacemaker. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic might be tested. First question. A mixed martial arts fighter sustains a direct blow to the precordium and arrests on the mat. Which of the following statements is most correct in this scenario? And the choices are 1, this is the most common cause of cardiac death in young athletic populations. 2, time to defibrillation is shown to predict survival. 3, risk can be detected on preseason physical. 4, often results in structural damage to the heart. And 5, occurs during ventricular depolarization. The correct answer to this question is 2, time to defibrillation is shown to predict survival. So early defibrillation increases survival in commotio cordis. Commotio cordis is a rare condition resulting from a direct blow to the precordium during ventricular repolarization, which is less than 1% of the cardiac cycle. Adolescent males appear most at risk, with the average victim age being 15. Immediate cardiac defibrillation is linked to increased survival. Chest pads have not been shown to prevent this condition from occurring. However, educating coaches, athletes, and trainers on this condition and having access to a defibrillator may improve survival. DiGiorgio et al. Reviewed the modern management of blunt thoracic trauma and cardiac injury in athletes. They report that projectiles such as baseballs and hockey pucks are responsible for a majority of these cases. Ventricular fibrillation is the most common initial rhythm leading to asystole if not quickly defibrillated. Weinstock et al. Performed an experiment to evaluate the effectiveness of commercially available chest wall protectors in preventing commotio cordis. They used a swine model to test 12 different chest protectors subjected to a 40-mile-per-hour precordial blow, compared to a control group without chest protectors, with lacrosse balls and baseballs during the ventricular repolarization period. They concluded that the chest protectors were ineffective in protecting the animal model from commotio cordis. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 1, most common cause of cardiac death in young athletic populations, describes sudden cardiac death due to hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, or HOCM. Answer 3, risk can be detected on preseason physical, is incorrect, as physical exam cannot detect individuals susceptible to commotio cordis. The same is not true for HOCM. Answer 4, often results in structural damage to the heart, is incorrect, as there has never been evidence of structural damage to the heart found at autopsy in patients with commotio cordis. Finally, answer 5, occurs during ventricular depolarization, is incorrect, as the impact occurs during ventricular repolarization, or the upstroke of the T wave. Moving on to the next question. A high school basketball player dies suddenly on the basketball court. An autopsy is most likely to find which of the following conditions to be the cause of death. And the choices are 1, hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy, 2, dilated cardiomyopathy, 3, mitral valve prolapse, 4, aortic root rupture, and 5, ventricular dysplasia. The correct answer to this question is 1, hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. So there is a differential diagnosis list for sudden cardiac death in the athlete. The most common cause in the United States is hypertrophic cardiomyopathy at 36%, followed by coronary anomalies at 19%, and increased cardiac mass at 10%. The other choices were much less common causes. Ruptured aorta accounted for 5%, dilated cardiomyopathy at 3%, and mitral valve prolapse at 2%. The article by Basilico et al. Reviews cardiovascular diseases that may limit an athlete's participation in sports and that may put an athlete at risk for sudden cardiac death. It also reviews the extent and limitations of the cardiovascular pre-participation screening examination. Moving on to the next question. A 15-year-old asymptomatic male presents for a pre-participation high school physical for basketball. He has no personal or family history of asthma. He had 2 relatives who died while playing sports due to a medical problem that runs in his family. Which of the following tests would be most helpful in obtaining his diagnosis and preventing possible sudden death? And the choices are 1, renal ultrasound, 2, pulmonary function test, 3, echocardiogram, 4, EKG, and 5, cervical MRI. The correct answer to this question is 3, echocardiogram. so the clinical vignette is concerning for hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. An echocardiogram is the most effective test to screen for this condition. Hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is an autosomal dominant inherited trait and is a cause of sudden death during sporting activities for young athletes. Those with a family history of premature sudden death should be screened with echocardiogram to ensure they do not have the disease. Echocardiogram findings include thickened left ventricular wall thickness compared to normal individuals of the same age. Once diagnosed, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy is an absolute contraindication to vigorous exercise and competitive sports. Sharma et al. Showed differences in heart chamber sizes on echocardiograms performed on athletes and non-athletes. They concluded that hypertrophic cardiomyopathy should be considered strongly in any trained adolescent male athlete with a left ventricular wall thickness of greater than 12 millimeters and in females greater than 11 millimeters and a non-dilated left ventricle. Marin et al. Found that a single negative echocardiogram may not definitively rule out hypertrophic cardiomyopathy in adolescents. In their study, serial echocardiograms showed that left ventricular hypertrophy may develop or progress spontaneously in patients with the disease during childhood as they mature. Pelliccia et al. Showed that elite athletes without hypertrophic cardiomyopathy also showed increased left ventricular cavity dimensions on echocardiogram. Without systolic dysfunction, this is likely physiologic cardiac conditioning. Moving on to the next question. An otherwise healthy 14-year-old male baseball pitcher goes into cardiac arrest after being struck in the chest by a batted ball. Commotio cordis is suspected. What is the most appropriate treatment? And the choices are 1. IV epinephrine. 2. Placement of a large gauge needle into the pericardial sac. 3. Immediate cardiac defibrillation. 4. Rescue breathing. And 5. Fluid bolus. The correct answer to this question is 3. Immediate cardiac defibrillation. So commotio cordis is a rare condition with high mortality that arises after blunt chest trauma. It results in a cardiac arrhythmia, often ventricular fibrillation. Treatment consists of immediate cardiac defibrillation. Link et al. Found that in a swine model, defibrillation within 1 minute resulted in a 100% survival rate. Waiting over 4 minutes to defibrillate resulted in a 0% survival rate, unless CPR was instituted to bridge the time to defibrillation, in which case the survival rate increased to 65%. The precordial chest thump is controversial and has not yielded compelling and consistent results. And moving on to the final question, the use of EKG for routine pre-participation screening of youth athletes is not presently standard of care in the United States. With respect to this observation, all of the following statements are correct except. And the choices are 1. Echocardiography is used to confirm hypertrophic subaortic cardiomyopathy. 2. History and physical examination are considered more cost-effective than EKG for screening. 3. Athletes with a family history of sudden cardiac death should receive additional testing. 4. Electrocardiography will result in a large number of false positive results. And 5. Electrocardiography cannot detect potential causes for sudden cardiac death. The correct answer to this question is 5. Electrocardiography cannot detect potential causes for sudden cardiac death. So there are several reasons why EKG is not used for routine pre-participation screening in U.S. high school athletes, but it is not because it cannot detect some of the potential causes for sudden cardiac death, as in fact it can. The major causes of sudden death in a young competitive athlete include hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, myocarditis, coronary abnormalities, and conduction abnormalities. The goal of pre-participation screening is to identify athletes who are at increased risk of cardiovascular events on the field. According to the American Heart Association, quote, a complete and careful personal and family history and physical examination designed to identify or raise suspicion of those cardiovascular lesions known to cause sudden death or disease progression in young athletes is the best available and most practical approach to screening populations of competitive sports participants, regardless of age. Non-invasive testing such as electrocardiography or EKG, echocardiography or echo, and stress tests can be used to detect some potential causes for sudden cardiac death. However, it is not recommended as a routine screening procedure in young athletes from a cost-benefit standpoint. O'Connor et al. Noted that mass EKG testing would be a costly method to identify athletes with cardiac abnormalities, with 98.8% of the cost going to workup of false positives. They note that effectiveness of EKG screening could be improved by testing only those athletes who are at high risk for harboring cardiac abnormalities capable of causing sudden cardiac death, i.e. those with risk factors based on history and physical. Corrado et al. Published a decrease in sudden death in one region of Italy, where EKG was added to routine screening for all young athletes. However, when this was evaluated by Marin et al., sudden death was only decreased to the same level or slightly higher than that of a comparable U.S. population without the use of EKG screening. They felt that the data did not support a lower mortality with a routine EKG screening and added that up to 30% of these events likely would not be detected on routine EKG. That's all for this review about cardiac conditions. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or mobile app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Also, if you aren't already, be sure to follow OrthoBullets on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube for daily high-yield content. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you all tomorrow right here on the OrthoBullets podcast.